It's pretty wild to think that now, in 2026, personality testing is this massive industry.
Oh, absolutely. The source said 80% of Fortune 500 companies are using it.
Exactly. And yet its origins, I mean, it shares DNA with what, carnivals, sideshow?
June bumps on skulls,
Yeah.
phrenology. Yeah.
So for today's deep dive, we're trying to draw a line from that, from the pseudoscience to the gold standard psychometrics used today.
And that's really the core tension, isn't it? The whole history is just this desperate struggle for objectivity, moving from guessing to actually measuring.
Speaking of guessing, I was looking at the notes on the Rorschach ink blots, and it's just amazing it hung around for so long. The research was brutal on its reliability.
The inter-rater reliability issues, yeah. It's the classic subjectivity trap.
Right. If two doctors can look at the same patient's response and see two totally different things.
And you aren't measuring personality, you're just measuring the doctor's opinion.
So the real pivot point in the research, it wasn't Freud or Jung, it was World War I.
Exactly. The US Army had this massive practical problem. They had to screen recruits for shell shock, and they couldn't just sit them all on a couch.
No time for that.
So, Woodworth creates the personal data sheet in 1919. And for the first time, we have standardized questions to get standardized data.
Which is the path that eventually leads us to the current heavyweight champion, the Big Five.
Right.
But let's skip the OCEAN acronym. I think everyone knows the basics. I want to talk about the lexical hypothesis.
The origin story.
It's just such a brute force approach to science. I mean, they literally combed through dictionaries.
They did. For every adjective describing human behavior, it sounds tedious, but it was brilliant.
Because the words just clustered.
They naturally clustered into those same five buckets, yeah,
Yeah.
globally. But the sources highlight this recent evolution that's even more critical.
This was the aha moment for me, the cybernetic Big Five theory.
The idea of splitting traits into aspects.
Exactly. Because we think of a trait like conscientiousness as just this one single block.
But it's not. It splits. You get industriousness, your work ethic, and orderliness, which is your preference for neatness.
And that distinction explains so much. You can have that high-performing CEO who is incredibly industrious, but their desk is a complete disaster.
Zero orderliness. If you only look at their broad conscientiousness score, you miss all that texture.
Which brings us to, the elephant in the room, the Myers-Briggs.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere in corporate training, but the data says the test-retest reliability is, what, hovering around 50%?
It's basically a coin flip. Great for starting conversations on a team, but statistically very weak.
Whereas the Big Five actually has predictive validity. It correlates with real-life outcomes.
Job performance, life satisfaction, all of it. But even the Big Five has a blind spot. It kind of assumes people are generally decent.
And that's where the Isaac-Sacco model comes in. I'd never seen this before, but that sixth factor, honesty, humility, it seems essential.
It really is. It's the factor that helps identify the dark traits.
Like narcissism or manipulation.
Exactly. You can actually score pretty high on agreeableness in the Big Five and still be incredibly manipulative. But a low honesty humility score in Hexaco is the red flag.
So if you're hiring for a high security role, that's what you need to look for.
It captures a risk the Big Five completely ignores.
And speaking of high security, let's talk about forensic settings. You can't just trust people, to be honest. The notes on the MMPI-3 were fascinating.
The validity scales. It's a lie detector built right into the questionnaire.
So it's not just scoring your personality, it's scoring your strategy.
Right. It catches if you're faking good to look like the perfect employee, or faking bad, which you see in court cases where someone wants an insanity plea.
But all of these, Big Five, Ex-Echo, MMPI, they rely on the person answering questions.
Self-reporting.
Yeah. And the scariest part of the research was the shift away from that to digital footprints. We're not asking anymore, we're scraping.
This is the new frontier. We're moving from self-report to behavioral residue. The algorithms don't need your input.
They can just look at your posts.
They can predict your emotional stability just by analyzing how often you use first-person pronouns like I and me.
Or predict extroversion based on your hashtag ratio. It's incredible.
And for the younger generation, for Gen Z, they're gamifying it. It's not a questionnaire, it's a neuroscience-based game on your phone.
It feels like such a fundamental shift. We used to tell psychologists who we thought we were.
And now our data tells them whether we want it to or not. You're no longer the narrator of your own profile. Your data exhaust is.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. Current models show AI can predict your personality from your emails and likes with up to 60% accuracy, often better than your colleagues can. So how much of your inner self are you accidentally revealing every time you hit send? Thanks for listening to this deep dive.